This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What?
Thank you, Jill, for holding on during the break. We're going to get your question before we get to the top two in hour two. You have a happy hour question, Jill. You're live on the air. What can we help you with?
I do. I am having a happy hour on Wednesday. There's three of us. One person lives in Hudson, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I live in Minneapolis.
Okay.
And the third person lives in Eden Prairie.
Okay.
How about that? And I keep thinking downtown Minneapolis, but I really want to avoid downtown because of parking.
Okay.
Yeah, St. Paul. I think St. Paul is your happy medium, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, potentially answer? Pajarito on West 7th Street, yep. In St. Paul.
Oh.
Has a good happy hour from 4 to 6. You get $5 Negro Modelos. House cocktails are discounted. Just kind of going through my list.
I would say Brunson's Pub.
Oh, yes.
Brunson's Pub is a great, especially for three people. I wouldn't recommend Brunson's for a big group, but for three people, they have these amazing wings. They have a great, it's a neighborhood bar that it's going to have families. It's going to have, you know, workers off from work. It's going to have a happy hour crowd.
Yep.
I love Brunson's. If you get lucky,
where's Brunson's?
Brunson's is on.
It's on Payne.
It's on Payne Avenue St. Paul. So it's close enough to the highway so that your Hudson friend can come in. Actually, both highways. So yeah, I think I love that one. That's my personal favorite.
Another one to think about would be Red Rabbit on Grand Avenue in St. Paul.
Right, it's big too. Yeah.
They've got a good happy hour. I just was there, actually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they have pizza on happy hour. They've got oysters. They've got drink specials, some special cocktails that are just offered at happy hour. And that's a good one. A big happy hour that people are obsessed with, but it's kind of a lot of the younger folks, is Nolo's Kitchen and Bar. They've got a $9 espresso martini, a $5 draft beer. They've got specials, and they do these throwback wine shots for $2. The North Loop is crazy about that place.
Yeah, it's very Instagram-y.
And Nolo's in North Loop, you said?
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
So parking can be an issue, but there is parking in the North Loop. You just got to find it.
These are great.
Yeah. All right. I think I've given you enough to kind of chew through.
Lolo in St. Paul, or in Stillwater. I'll throw that in there if you guys are willing to go to Stillwater. Lolo is amazing.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, enjoy. Much. Happy hours are back, too, I think it's safe to say.
I think humanity is back. Let's say it that way.
Yeah. And all right, with that, we're going to go to the top two in hour two.
Giving the 0-1 time. 1-2, 1-2. And now the Weekly Dish presents
Top two.
The top two.
Pick your best two.
In hour two.
All right, give me two. Winning.
All right, so the top two in hour two is where we tell you two things that we're obsessed with. One other thought on the happy hour situation would be Book Club, which is a sponsor of the Lori and Julia Book Club, but they also have good happy hour fun.
In a giant parking lot.
Yes. So you got that going for you. Okay, so Alex, we will start with two. What is something you are obsessed with this week?
So actually, it's a good segue because we're talking about getting back out there and being with humanity again. I have been needing to leave my house to work. I am having construction on my house, and I just need to see people, right? Yeah. As a freelancer for all these years, you really start missing humanity. And which is something I never thought I would say before COVID. So I've been going to a lot of coffee shops.
Yes.
To work. And I love 5 Watt. 5 Watt is usually my go-to. The one in Minneapolis on Hennepin, and when Hennepin becomes, from Larpinder, it becomes Hennepin.
Yeah. Yes. Over like near 280-ish.
Exactly. So that's usually my favorite. That's my go-to. But lately...
On Carlton. Is it on Carlton? Is that that actual street?
I don't think so.
It's not.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
And... But, oh, I know what you're thinking about. I think that's Dogwood.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I also love. But, so 5 Watt is usually my favorite go-to. But the fun thing about 5 Watt is they're also in Keg and Case. So if you go to Keg and Case, now you can hang out at the any space you want, wherever you're comfortable, get your 5 Watt coffee, and then sort of throughout the day, have a Bogart donut.
Yeah,
they still they're still there. Have a mushroom. I don't know. There's lots of things over in Keg and Case.
That I love
you
could, it.
And then their outside is amazing in the summer.
It's funny that you mentioned this, like getting out again, because I'm kind of feeling the same way. And I have been out, but there's this feeling of being more intentional about it, because I used to just go out and be out all the time. And now I'm like, oh, I'm going to go out and do this thing.
Right.
So I met a friend for coffee in South Minneapolis, and we met at Turtle Bread. And it's been a long time since I've been in Turtle Bread. And right away, I noticed that they have this giant freezer. And in the freezer, right by the cash register, is bread, dough for bread, pizza dough balls. They have pizza take and bakes that are just the crust that are already all flattened out, ready to go frozen. So all you have to do is put toppings on.
Wow.
They had frozen scones that you can bake off. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just really impressed with this huge section of like grab and go things that would be really easy for families.
Very cool. Do they still have all their breads on tables?
They do.
For some reason, I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah, it's kind of Parisian, actually.
It's very Parisian.
Their cookies are out. They have all the breads. They also have tons of soups there by the quart, which also I'm a, as you know, soup person. So soup, I just like, oh, I forgot that they have all this goodness right here that you can just grab and go and finish up at home.
I want to say that's what I usually get when I eat there, is their soup.
Yeah, They do have good soups. So that was, Turtle Bread is just somewhere I rediscovered, and I'm forcing myself to kind of go out and about and rediscover things that it's been a while.
Iconic.
Okay. So What's your next one?
So I do feel like every time I come on the show, I talk about my recent trip to California, and I'm sure people are sick of hearing it.
It's okay. I talked about it too.
Yeah. So apparently you and I were in Palm Springs at the same time. We didn't know it. Did you go and get Dole ice cream?
No.
Okay. So there's a place there that's famous for selling Dole ice cream. And I don't know where, other than the fair, you can find Dole ice cream, the pineapple Dole ice cream.
At Disney World.
Okay. Also more challenging to find than at the fair.
Yes.
But on a daily basis, you can go there and they do a Dole ice cream. I don't think they call it a smoothie, but
a whip.
They put the Dole ice cream whip in a cup, and then they also pour pineapple juice in there, and you get your little umbrella. It's
yum.
It's to die for, and I really, really want one here. Please and thank you.
I kind of like, it sounds like Orange Julius still does it for me. The idea.
Do they still have Orange Julius?
They do occasionally, yeah. And they're a lot of times attached to Dairy Queens, but the orange juice with the vanilla cream, and then it's all blended together.
It's
and
all
kind
powder.
Of a,
it's all powder. An Orange Julius is just all powder. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. I
used to
like
work
it.
I used to work at Fanny Farmer next to Orange Julius in Ridgedale in my youth. And that's, we found that out. It's all a bunch of powder, which is what makes it that foamy, because it has dehydrated egg whites
albumin
in it.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. Something else that I had this week, and I did just talk about their happy hour, but that's why coincidentally I went to Red Rabbit for happy hour this week. And I have never had their pizza rolls. And someone ordered on the happy hour menu these pizza rolls. I was like, pizza rolls? Because right away I'm like, Totino's. That was my 4 o'clock meal as a teenager.
Absolutely.
But they take the bread scrap or the dough scraps from the pizzas and they roll them up. And they're kind of like a Cinnabon, but with mozzarella cheese. So like imagine this dough scrap rolled into like a little mini cinnamon roll, but it's got cheese and garlic and butter.
Not cinnamon.
No. Okay. And it's in a cast iron skillet, ooh, a little one. Ooh. And then they serve it with the side of the pizza sauce, the marinara.
Okay.
So you get this like little roll that you can kind of unravel and there's crispy cheese bits from the bottom.
I love interactive eating.
Yeah. And then you kind of dip into your marinara. Very delicious. Pizza rolls at Red Rabbit. I was very impressed. I was like, oh, where have these been my whole life? Yum.
Have you had their sticky toffee cake?
Yes. Long time ago, but yes.
Dreams. Dreams. And
their homemade sausage. They make, like, yeah, I think one of the best homemade sausages. Yeah. So, all right, you guys, I know it doesn't look like it outside if I'm just going to pay an homage to Smarch while she's gone today. The weather report is...
yuck.
Stay at home. Just, or stay in bed, or go out and enjoy yourself at a brewery and play games. But
oh, it's, that sounds
the
lovely.
Weather is just, like, you practically need a winter coat.
I have my winter coat. I had to dig it out.
Yeah. Come to the Mill City Museum and see me, because why not? You can take a tour and enjoy it. I'll be there from 1 to 3 today. But yeah, the weather report is a little grim. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about asparagus season, because believe it or not, someday it's coming when we come back.
When people think about personal trainers, they sometimes picture this guy.
You know something, Jessica? When I'm done with you, you're going to have the largest arms this side of the continent.
I don't want that.
But when you join the YMCA, you'll get a free fitness assessment from a real certified personal trainer. So you can set realistic goals, learn what to do, and what not to do.
I am your doctor, yeah. And the only thing I prescribe is pain.
That's what not to do. And he's not a doctor. Learn more at ymcanorth.org.
Welcome back to the Weekly Dish. Stephanie March is off today. I'm Stephanie Hansen with Stephanie's Dish. I'm here with Alex Laudner. She is a local foodie, local writer. And I want to just talk about, I don't want to bum out on the weather because it's just a bummer. I'm not going to lie. For everyone, for literally everyone. Kurt woke up 2 days ago, he was maple syruping up in Ely. And
oh, my
he
gosh.
He's like, well, there's a foot of snow that just fell. I was like, ah! And my garden's up there. So I have all my seeds planted, like, ready to go. You know, the first week of May is usually when you can plant things. But obviously, it's going to be a little bit later and certainly up there.
Right.
But it is asparagus season. Now,
is it?
Not here because of the weather, but it will be sooner or later. Those little spriggles are going to come out of the ground. And it is in California, the asparagus are up and
artichoke season.
Yes.
In California, yeah.
And there's a lot. I did have some great artichokes when I was in California, too.
Mm-hmm.
So on the Jason show, I did a bunch of asparagus things. One of the things about asparagus, talking about like reusing and using food scraps, you can like snap off the woody ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And literally you just snap them and wherever they snap is where it's supposed to snap. So then you have this pile of these ends. Well, I freeze them. And by the time I'm at like my third or fourth batch of ends, I've now got like a pretty good Ziploc bag full of these ends. So what I do is I toss them in olive oil, salt and pepper, put them on a baking sheet, and I roast them with a garlic that I've cut in half and put a little olive oil and wrap it up in foil.
Mm-hmm.
I also put an onion on there if I have one. I just like, right? Then okay. I roast for about 20 minutes at 400, pull them out, toss, check the garlic, make sure that's still happening, put it back in for another 20 minutes.
Ooh, that's a long time.
Now you pull these out and and I start at frozen. So the asparagus
really?
At this point is really cooked down, but still tender. It is got moisture inside it. It's not like super dried up.
Okay.
And then I take and I squeeze the bulb of garlic onto this same tray and I get the onions, make sure those are all ready to go. I put this entire situation in my Vitamix blender and I blend it.
Did not see that coming.
And I add a little bit of yogurt, a little bit of lemon juice, more salt and pepper to taste, and it's soup.
It's soup.
And it's delicious soup.
I was imagining dressing.
No, soup. Cold soup or hot soup, doesn't matter. Tastes great either way.
why not do that right away? Like, why are you freezing them?
I just do it because I have two people in my house. We eat about a pound of asparagus at a sitting.
Okay.
1 pound of ends really isn't enough to make anything substantial.
I understand. Okay.
So if you have like 3 pounds or 4 pounds of ends,
okay,
you're going to get about 4 to 6 cups of soup.
So it's not that frozen ends are better for this.
No.
You could do them if you had a big party and you had a bunch of pounds.
You could do it right then and there.
You could do it right there and then. Okay.
Yep. I do think that the roasting is important versus just using them not roasted because
they'd
I think
be
it concentrates
bitter,
the flavor. No, it's just that they're, I mean, asparagus is kind of a grassy, fresh, herby taste.
Yeah.
But it's not much more than that. Like, they're not the most flavorful thing. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I did asparagus and soup on Jason's show. He was laughing. He was like, only you would be making soup from the
asparagus
ends of something we're throwing away.
Mm-hmm.
but also, if you have super fresh asparagus, you can shave it with a vegetable shaver.
Right.
And you have a shaved salad.
Yes.
And you can just toss that with, like, mustard, vinaigrette, olive oil, salt and pepper, and then you shave Parmesan cheese.
Okay.
And that also is a really nice, fresh take on it. Shaved salads are underrated, you guys.
So raw asparagus.
Raw asparagus,
obviously.
Yep.
Okay.
Raw beets.
Yes.
Raw radishes.
I love shaved salads. I love shaved Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Shaved fennel. There's
shaved
a lot
fennel.
Of things you can shave and get a good salad
I'm
out of it.
I'm terrified of the whole...
The vegetable peeler or the mandolin?
The mandolin, especially.
I don't use a mandolin for that very reason.
My finger off.
100%. I don't know. It's totally my own psychosis, but I'm glad to know I'm not alone.
Oh, it's completely realistic. What are you talking
about? Because I use vegetable peelers.
I've owned several in my lifetime and then decide, no, I'm never going to use this. Throw it out. A couple of years later, forget. Like having children, I forget and I buy another one. And no, I will never, ever. It's not worth it.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm not big on mandolins either. Mm. I always go for the vegetable peeler.
I can't watch anybody using them on TV, on cook shows.
Because it freaks you out.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay,
that's
here's another
easy
asparagus thing. You take your parchment paper. You lay it down. You take a puff pastry sheet. You lay that down. You roll it out just a little bit to make like a nice rectangle.
Okay.
Then you dock it in the middle. Okay. You have to put the little holes so that when it bakes, it doesn't just immediately puff up.
Okay.
And then you draw like a picture frame with a paring knife. You don't go all the way through to the bottom of the pastry. You just draw like a picture frame. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got your puff pastry, you've made your picture frame with your paring knife, and you're not going all the way through to the bottom, but you're scoring it.
Correct.
You've docked it in the middle, dock with your fork.
Yes.
Now you can put like pesto on the inside, and then you put your asparagus spears that you've tossed in olive oil, and you lay those down. You can make it all pretty like they do on Instagram.
Right.
You have your
like
salt.
A Zoe Francois
no,
situation.
It's easy. It's totally easy. You have your salt. You have your pepper. You can then throw Parmesan cheese on the top. You can not throw cheese, whatever. It depends on what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
You can have like little shavings of prosciutto if you want. But basically, you then bake the whole thing at 400
for 15, 20 minutes.
Then? No.
No, you bake
it's
it
flat.
Like that. So it's
and
open.
It becomes this flat, square, rectangular tart.
Why the scoring
and
of
it's delicious.
The picture frame?
Because it allows the outside edge to puff up,
but
the inside to stay flatter. So it gives you that dimension.
Aren't you clever?
The scoring is what, like you're separating it out and making the frame,
right.
Which is then the outside crust.
I bet that's beautiful.
It is beautiful and it's easy. And all these recipes are at stephaniesdish.com. I'm just showing Alex what it looks like.
Oh, that is gorgeous. That's exactly what I was picturing. That's beautiful. You could put like maybe ricotta on the bottom.
You could. And what Stephanie March likes to do is fry an egg and chili crisp and put it on top.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really lovely. It's a perfect spring meal. Very
easy. I thought you were going to say she likes to barbecue a rump roast and throw that on top.
She might like a rump roast. I don't know. Asparagus wrapped prosciutto is a good one too.
Yes, of course.
You just wrap the spears in prosciutto and you roast those. That's a good low carb thing.
Oh, yeah.
Asparagus wrapped prosciutto.
I've been doing literally take a piece of a pickle spear
yes.
and wrap it in something. And that's a great little snack. Snacking is easy and low carb.
Yes.
Get a cheese stick and a hard boiled egg.
And you just wrap everything in cheese.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I think, let's see what else. Oh, a frittata. You can make a frittata. That's easy. All these recipes are at stephaniesdish.com. When we come back, we've got more great weekly dish when we come back. Welcome back to the weekly dish. I'm Stephanie Hansen. I'm here with Alex Laudner.
Hello.
It is True North Cabin cookbook season.
It is.
Sooner or later, we are going to get up to the lake.
Can I tell you, I love that book.
Oh, thanks.
I really
do. It's very
nice
of you.
It's so accessible.
I was with the Care 11. I want to say his name is Chris. I don't know. I should know. I can't remember. But the guy who's on Mornings with Belinda on Saturday mornings, Care 11 mornings, this morning. And he read the entire book.
Yeah, I did too. I read it like a book.
He was like, well, and he's from Milwaukee. And I was like, oh, my family's like, yeah, Wapaka. I know, because I read about it in your book and your Grandma B's beef sandwiches.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And I love it. I love when books get out of their own way. You know, so there's some books, let's say Ottolenghi, right?
Yeah.
Gorgeous, gorgeous book.
Yes.
I collect his books like pieces of art.
Yes.
I have cooked one thing out of my Ottolenghi books because it's not a reference. Yours, you just open it. I don't know what to do today. I'm going to open this book up and I know for a fact I will find something to cook. So it's that accessibility. It's just a different genre of cookbook.
Yeah. And it's
absolutely works for people. And it's, to me, a much preferred way of owning a cookbook that's actually going to help me cook. What a thought.
Oh, that's nice. Our friend Joy, my friend Joy Altman, actually,
yes,
is cooking from the book different. Like, she's cooking the book.
Oh, fine. People do that with Julia Child.
Yeah.
That's quite the honor.
I'm pretty, yeah. She did Kurt's ribs last weekend, and I think she would say she's a home cook too. Like,
okay.
She doesn't think that she's a great cook, but she likes to try things, and she sends me pictures and of her process. And it is so rewarding, and I don't even know if the word is like, I'm so full of pride.
When I see
like someone that made something that is exactly what I wanted. I wanted someone to see these family recipes and think they could do it and then actually do it and then love them as much as I do.
Yes, that's got to be the best feeling.
Yeah, because some of these recipes are like my grandma's, you know,
right,
with those hot beef sandwiches, Grandma B's hot beef sandwiches. You know, we've been eating those since literally I was born.
Right.
And in fact, during our middle school years, we'd be like, oh my God, we're not having Grandma's hot beef sandwiches, are we again? We were rude about it.
Right. Of course.
And
of
then
course.
I was like, oh, she would just die if she knew. She's dead, so she can't die again. But if she knew I was going to like put these in the cookbook, you know
right.
what I mean?
I just think it's lovely. And it comes across.
Thanks.
It definitely comes across.
And we're going to just have a little therapy moment here.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I can do it again.
Really?
Because I don't know. The only thing I can think of, and they want me to write another book, and I've been thinking about it, and Steph and I have talked about it a lot. And the only thing I can think of that feels sort of authentic to my experience would be like gatherings and holidays. Because
okay,
we have
yes.
big gatherings, big holidays, and I entertain a lot around these events.
You are an amazing host.
And I can think about like stories of funny things that have happened, sad stories that have happened. But I think that what I like about this book is the stories as much as the recipes. And I don't know like if I have that in me again.
But gatherings is a perfect opportunity for that.
Stephanie's like, oh, you should just do it.
I don't know how hard it is to write a cookbook.
Takes a year.
Oh gosh, yeah, no.
It just takes a year. But you know, it takes a year because I'm focused on it, you know, X amount of time during the week. I do other stuff too.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
She just asked me, Alex asked me during the break, oh, are all those asparagus recipes in your cookbook? I was like, no, none of them are.
Right.
I was like, that's asparagus season.
So that tells me cookbook number two is coming up.
When I started the garden, I only had the garden a couple years before I started writing the book.
Okay.
And I have asparagus at the garden now, but it takes a couple years to get established.
And I did not feel, so when I, like your friend, I read that book like a book.
Yeah. Just,
and I did not feel that, oh, you have to have a garden to make this.
No,
because
you don't.
I will never have a gardener.
Yep.
I'm a terrible gardener. I've tried, some things work, some things don't. But I absolutely did not feel that way. I did not feel like, oh, if I don't have this land, plot of land in Ely, I can't. It felt absolutely repeatable.
That's and there was a
in
book,
any situation.
Trisha Cornell, who's a local food writer, she wrote a book called Farmer's Market Book, I think.
Okay.
And I'll put a link to it because I linked to it last summer, too. It was this first book that I read as a cookbook that I felt like, wow, this is exactly like when I go to the farmer's market and I end up with these four things at this time of the year. This cookbook literally teaches me what to do with those things.
Right, right.
And it felt very Minnesota-ish. It was like the things that you get, the first things you get are what? Radishes, spring onions. Like, I just really appreciated her approach. And it was very family-oriented. They were family recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in my mind, her book always was kind of what I wanted with stories.
Right. And it's, and you know, you go to the farmer's market and you shop with your eyes. Oh, this is pretty.
Yes.
I don't know what this is, but it's pretty. And you come home and just like, oh dear, you know.
And then I don't want to come home with too much.
Right. Yeah. Of course. 100%. And you don't want to just make soup out of all these vegetables. So it's nice to, and with yours, and there's a couple books like this too, that where you can easily transfer. Okay. You have sweet potatoes, but you don't have peppers or what have you. And
yes.
Switch it around.
Yeah, and soup is, I think that's why I make so much soup, because I'm always like using up little dribs and drabs of things.
Right.
As a mom, like, I was going to ask, what are teenage kids eating these days?
Ramen.
Okay, so
all day long ramen.
And it's just the cup of noodle ramen. Do you zhuzh it up at all, or?
She does not. We get the packages.
Yep.
And you know, I lost that battle. It, whatever at this point.
Yeah,
right? At 16, I was making
like crazy
my own
too.
Spaghetti too. It is what it is.
Yep.
But she doesn't zhuzh it up. I do have a recipe in quotes of a vlogger that I love who she zhuzhs up her ramen. So every once in a while, I will make the Kara ramen.
Yep.
But Millie doesn't love peanut butter, and that one has a lot of peanut butter in it. So no, she I don't know what she does with it, honestly. You know,
okay,
it's such
so,
a weird thing when they become so independent that you literally don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah. So do you like, is it okay, so ramen is a meal. Like, is it a lot of like, let's stop at Chipotle, let's stop here, let's stop there?
Yeah, yeah.
What's her go to?
Things I'd rather not say on radio.
No. I'm not judging.
Okay, so yesterday I gave in.
Yeah.
She had the day off.
And what'd you do?
She wanted McDonald's.
No problem.
No,
I love a good
so
McDonald's.
So many problems. So many problems.
You can have a McDonald's every once in a while. Who cares?
So
I love a McDonald's. I love a Taco Bell.
That's how much I love her.
Yeah.
I took her to McDonald's. Well, she wanted the hash browns. And we were too late
breakfast
for breakfast
hash browns. Ooh,
she was too late. So that's why when she said, hey, can we go to McDonald's? Well, no. What she said was, can I DoorDash McDonald's hash browns? And I'm like, what? No. Get in the car. We'll go.
That's
so
hysterical.
Right. That's what they do now.
I know.
She will say, can I DoorDash Starbucks?
Yeah. I was going to ask about Starbucks next.
Yeah. She loves
Starbucks.
Because
I feel like the teenagers are all very upside down in their Starbucks experiences. Like, they just love Starbucks.
Yeah. She has her thing. It's like a green tea situation. I don't even know. She always wants the largest one. And then I find it 3 days later in her room.
Half.
Yeah. Not even half.
There was a Facebook story that I was looking at that came out where it was like a mom and she was like, guess what I'm doing today? Trying to find forks. Like, she was trying to find the kids' forks. And that was always a rule at our house.
In the bedroom.
You, first of all, if you're going to eat in your room, it's not my favorite. Know that.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
You cannot leave the food on the floor when you're done. Like, those dishes have to make it back into the kitchen. Now, I didn't always win that battle, but I was like... Yeah. Do you have dishes in your room right now? Because I know I'm missing three plates.
Right. And I'll do that too. Occasionally I'll say, okay, grab me the dishes. And she will. But on a regular basis, no. Oh my gosh. I sound like a housewife in the 70s, but it's a complete pigsty in there.
Yeah. Well, and then you're going to pick your battles.
Yeah.
Whatever. I decided not to fight with my kid about her room.
You know,
like, you want to be in there as long as I can find the dishes and the silverware and there isn't literal food that mice can be making homes.
Oh, I'm sure there's literal food.
Yeah. I was like, just close your door. I don't care. Right. You sleep in your pigsty.
Yeah.
And how
I know.
They never make their bed.
No.
And just, ugh.
No. And you know what? She's such a great kid. And
yeah, you got to pick your battles.
Absolutely every way.
I forget, too, that Elliot works at this radio station now, so people know who I'm talking about. Like, oh, shoot.
I know. Well, luckily, my daughter is still very much asleep and not listening to me complain about her. But no, she's a great kid, and I try and remind people that, you know, like, when you know a lot of kids and you know what other kids are capable of, and you think, really? I'm going to be mad about this?
Yeah.
Forget it. She's in every other way an amazing person.
Are you a, like, dinner person? Like, do you have a sit-down dinner?
No, I'm terrible at that.
So it's more like grab and go?
Grab and go, and yes. Yeah, I'm absolutely, I failed miserably at that, probably around age 13.
It's hard.
Yeah.
People have sports and stuff, and you've got a job.
Dance every night.
Is she on the dance line?
No, she's in a dance studio.
Okay, yeah. So doing that every single night.
Every night, and yeah, it's just, you know, our lives are not what I pictured. Our lives are not the Leave It to Beaver.
Did you picture that?
Nope, I did not.
I was like, not even a little tiny bit. I probably was, but because I didn't have that. I mean, we had kind of a chaotic home life, but our mom did every night make a meal, like, and it had meat and vegetable and starch and milk.
Oh God!
Every night.
Well, I'm sure that my parents. I'm sure we had dinner with my parents most nights, but no, my life is absolutely not the way my childhood was. And boy, talk about therapy. I've got a lot of self-forgiveness to work on that department, because I did not turn out to be the kind of mom I probably wish I was, but you know, you got to do you.
Do you have a good relationship with your kid?
I hope so. I think she's amazing.
And that's all you can do. And you just have grace for yourself.
Yes.
A friend of mine, this has kind of become a therapy session, but hey, you know, it all has to do with food, right? A friend of mine is like so good about recognizing when you're harder on yourself than another person would be on you. And she'll just stop you and she'll be like, I think this is a moment where you just need to like have some grace for yourself, because you wouldn't, if you were talking to a friend who was talking like this, you would be like, stop talking about yourself that way.
Absolutely.
She's like, so you're not hearing yourself talk about yourself. You need to be nicer to yourself.
Right. And I think the proof is in the kind of person that they become.
Yes.
Right? Ellie and Millie. And
yeah, really proud
my
of her. Friend
Grace and all my, my little ones that I care about so much have become such incredible human beings. I was like, well, I'm not taking credit for it, but I didn't screw them up as badly as I thought I would.
Yeah. And don't you think, this is a weird thought too, but at some point, like, people just are who they're going to be.
Yeah.
And you can provide like a moral structure. You can provide an ethics structure. You can provide a safety structure, but kind of at the end of the day, they are like preformed into who they are going to be.
Right. And their friends make a huge difference. Their school makes a huge difference.
Teachers.
I was molded as much by my friend group as I was by my parents.
Sure.
And my parents were much more hands-off. I was much more of a helicopter mom. But, you know, I think that a friend many, 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 many years ago, she had a 15-year-old kid after a couple other kids. And I remember her saying, you know what? I'm done. I'm done parenting. And that has stuck with me because I've been terrified of that. I thought, she's 15.
Yeah.
No, you can't. So I think that then I've had a fear that if I let go of the reins even a little bit, then I'm going to be viewed by who? I don't know. But I'm going to be viewed as having that giving up on parenting. My parents still parent me, and so I never want to not be her parent. And I think that fear of the opposite has made me hold on too tightly, because I don't want to be perceived as having given up, but at the same time I've given up. Like, what am I supposed to do about her room? Ground
her? And you can practice detachment, because that's really what that is. At a certain point you detach and you let them make some mistakes. You observe the person that they are and you realize you can't really change it.
Yeah.
And my endlessly helpful suggestions aren't helpful.
Right.
My endless suggestions are just annoying.
Right.
You know, and you just kind of get to that place.
If this is what their dorm room looks like, or if this is what their apartment looks like, then that's on them.
Yeah.
I just won't visit.
And it probably won't.
And it probably won't.
I was a pig as a kid.
Yeah.
An absolute P-I-G.
Yeah.
Stuff everywhere, food everywhere, just terrible, buried in mounds of crap.
Right.
And now I can't even barely stand to leave the house without my bed made.
Right. Well, my kid loves sushi, so I feel like I did something right.
That's what Stephanie says, too. Sushi and ramen. Sushi and ramen.
Exactly.
All right. When you come back, we will have the moral of the story, the end of the show. We've got some events for you to consider and some fun stuff when we come back. All right, welcome back to The Weekly Dish. I'm Stephanie Hansen. I'm here with Alex Laudner.
Hello.
Stephanie March will be back with us next week.
Yay.
And speaking of next week, we are going to be live at Rosedale. We are going to do a live broadcast from 9 to 11 at Potluck. And then we're going to go down into the atrium outside Von Maur, and they're having a whole party board event. And you can get tickets at Rosedale's website, in their link in their bio on Instagram, or at their website, you can find ticket information. And you can come and watch the live broadcast at Potluck. That's anyone can come. And then they're going to have boards that are put together from all of the participating Potluck restaurants. So, like, imagine a pizza board, imagine a bakery board. Like, there's the whole idea of boards can really get over the top, and you can do a lot more than just a cheese board or a hummus board. But so that's going to be super fun. And then you can come, and we're going to be having Rose and Loon is going to have some boards made up. Certix is going to come and talk about making the perfect board. And Steph and I will obviously have feedback. She does a good cheese board. Our friend Heather Manley has made some of the most beautiful boards in the world. Oh my gosh.
Will Crooked Spirit be there?
No, they will not. But okay. And every time I think about like amazing boards, I think about her.
Huh.
There is, if anyone is going to spend any time in Ely this summer, there's a coffee shop up there called Northern Grounds, and they do a lot of tastings and events. And on June 4th and 5th, I believe, are the dates. Heather Manley from Crooked Water Spirits is going to be doing a tasting up there.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go. It's a Friday and Saturday night. So I've got some friends that are going to be up at the lake. So we're going to do that. It is the time there's so many events that are happening.
Uh-huh.
You can go join us at Dining Out for Life, which is coming up on April 27th. And
oh, wow, that came up fast.
Yeah, it did. And there are Dining Out for Life is an organization that supports people that are in treatment for terminal illnesses, including HIV and AIDS. And they have participating restaurants where all you have to do is go and eat. And a certain percentage of those proceeds will go to Dining Out for Life. For instance, Jay Selby's, if you eat there that night on the 27th, 100% will go to Dining Out for Life.
Wow. I volunteered with them a few years ago.
Yeah. And then like Wiseacre Eatery and Mason Jar, they are at 50%. Like, you can go on the website, Dining Out for Life. We'll put a link up on the show page and see Jones in the Park is going to be doing, and I think it's 35%. The Lowbrow, the Pizza Luce's are participating. There's a ton of restaurants that are participating. And so if you just want to do some good and all you have to do is eat, Dining Out for Life is a perfect event. Let's see. If you are looking for Mother's Day ideas, I'm working on a blog for that right now. If you go to stephaniesdish.com and you look at my cookbook, I will personalize and send a book to your mom or to you to give to your mom. But you still have time to do that. We can get them in the mail next week. So if you're looking for that, I said to someone, I need to get a State Fair shirt that's for Stephanie and I that says we're mom magnets. Because inevitably, someone will come up to me at some event and they'll be like,
My mom loves you.
Right. Yes, that's exactly what they say. So share your mom's love by getting her a personalized cookbook. You're a donut person. Have you heard about the Indeed Brewing new donut trap vending machine?
No.
Okay, they've got
donut
a vending
machine. Been there. I mean, that's a thing.
And right? They have a vending machine in there now that's fully donuts. And on 420, they had some funny donuts, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Today is record store day.
It is.
So get out and get your records. When I was driving by Care 11 this morning, there was a line around the building for Down in the Valley, which made me so happy.
Oh my gosh.
People were in
down
like their parkas
the
and they had chairs. I mean, it was literally, were probably 300 people in line.
That's good to know because I'm going to my parents after this and we were going to go have lunch over there. at Mort's.
Yeah,
and
do it.
That's, well, I will, but now hopefully there's
no,
a place to park.
It'll be fine.
I used to work it down in the valley. It was back.
Oh, I did not
well, that's
know
where
that.
I grew up. Yeah,
okay.
I grew up in Golden Valley, so yeah.
Right next to Mort's is the place called Love Pizza.
Yes.
And they have been strictly doing takeout during the pandemic time, but they are now opening for dining inside with real tables. They have a special menu available for dine-in only, and they have a patio, which is going to be nice when it ever is nice.
Right. Not today.
So, well, thank you for filling in. It was super fun
anytime,
to have you, Alex Laudner, and you can find all this information on the Weekly Dish show page. We look forward to being at Potluck Live next week, so come out and join us. Stephanie will be back, and we'll have a great time. Have a good Saturday, friends. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.